This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today our topic is curriculum on the cheap. We're going to talk about some great ways to get books for a lot less than you would normally pay. And this is podcast number 199. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And today with me on the line, I have a very special guest. Some of you may know her because she hosts Mommy Jammies Night on this network. And this is our very special Gina Glenn. Welcome, Gina.
Thanks, Felice.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here today to talk about this because we're both longtime homeschool moms. And you have quite a few kids that you have homeschooled, and they are pretty much grown now. So tell us about your children and a little bit about your homeschool experience.
Well, I have four kids. My youngest is now 17, so he's my last to graduate. We homeschooled the oldest one from second grade all the way through, and he is a college graduate now, and my other three were all homeschooled all the time, and they're all doing well, college bound or working, so we had a great homeschool experience. My kids have thanked me for it, so I don't think you can get any better than that. I'm pretty happy with that.
That's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're in the same boat with the last one. My youngest is 16, and he'll be 17 this summer, so he'll graduate next year, so we're excited for him and what he's going to be doing, which is also stressful as we look at future plans. But when I look at our curriculum, I mean, there are so many books I still have, and my daughter is homeschooling. And, you know, one of the things, we're going to talk a little bit of homeschool philosophy here, but one of the things that I was very careful of was time. For me, time, and it still is today, is so valuable that I do not like to waste time, which is why I'm typically a multitasker, you know, doing more than one thing at a time, which they say is bad, but I get quite a bit done doing it that way. I think it's whatever works for you. And so for me, when I looked at books, Gina, I didn't just want something I could set in front of my kids. We weren't the typical textbook workbook family, but we did use textbooks, but a lot of times it was more of a reference or to read sections out of. I always call myself curriculum impaired because I never used a book the way it was designed. So, you know, I would take it and like my husband would say, you know, you're just giving yourself more work. And I'm saying, yeah, I know, but, you know, I don't want to do this part and this part. So my books were, you know, obviously sticky note tabbed. I love those things. My husband also said I need stock in the company. And we looked at for things that were really quality curriculum and quality work and things like books that we could use throughout our years of homeschooling. So I have, you know, some books that to this day we still reference, you know, whether it's a grammar usage book. And I know you can hop online and do that kind of stuff now, but those books were, you know, tried and true. We used them year after year. I have friends who still insist on their kids looking things up in the dictionary. And, you know, that might be not your style, you know, so much easier to go online and find that kind of thing. But it does teach kids, you know, research skills and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was what one of the things that I looked at was my homeschool philosophy. And I'm going to put a link in this podcast that talks about, you know, what type of homeschooler are you? And that podcast will help you if you're not sure, you know, where you fit. And philosophy was important to you as well, wasn't it?
It was. Once I determined my homeschool philosophy, it became very easy to make decisions regarding books and things like that. So at some point, I made a decision on a homeschool philosophy, and I learned a method of homeschooling, and I never bought curriculum again. And that would have been when my oldest, who's now 24, was 9 years old. So homeschool conventions weren't fun anymore because there was
No.
no shopping. So, and I wrote about that on the blog, the Home for Learning blog on Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, just getting started with the principal approach methodology. And that was really key in keeping costs down because you learned a
Yeah.
method that whatever you picked up, you could homeschool from it.
And that's great. And so again, everybody is different, so don't have the pressure put on you. I will have that link too on the homeschool blog. But we did a lot of unit studies, and so everything kind of centered around the topic we were studying. So again, there wasn't a lot of curriculum out there that dealt with that. There was some that kind of gave you bare bones, and you could build off of it. And then once you get that and you get good at it, you don't really need a curriculum per se, but I would look at things like a scope and sequence and see what it is they need to learn for that year and kind of keep that as a skeleton in the background as I built out what we were going to do for the year, which was really fun for me. Not so much the detail part of it, but the big picture part of it. And my kids have all been blessed with more detail oriented than I am, which is great because we work well together. So we would talk about things we wanted to study for the year, and that was one of the ways that we bought, books that would either fit that, and we're going to give you some great tips of where you can find, books and curriculum for less money, as well as, and I'm going to put another link on the site about building your own homeschool library, because that again, they're tried and true books. They're ones that you're going to use for years, and they're also ones you're going to pass down to your kids. And it's not like the latest greatest that's out there, because a lot of times, a lot of the curriculums that are coming out, and I think you and I have talked about it, Gina, offline. Not to mention anything in particular, but a lot of times we download these, books that are, I don't know, let's just throw a number out there, like $5.99 or $15.99, or yeah, I won't pay that much, but let's say it's a $5.99 book, and you look at it and you think, oh my word, it's not worth the paper it would take and the ink to print. So how do you guard yourself from making a purchase that could be, really wasteful? And one way is to look at the samples if the website has it. You can look at some of the book samples. I have some samples on my particular website at mediaangels.com. And people have asked for like a particular, section of the book, and I've just emailed them that one particular section. And, people are not willing to shell out the money like they were when I started homeschooling because there really was nothing out there. So, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, if they don't offer a money back on some of those smaller price books like $5.99 to $9.99 for PDFs, that sort of thing, that's just something that I use. If they're willing to put their name behind it, that's great. Otherwise, I look for it to be a mainstream curriculum provider or someone I'm not familiar with, and I know their quality, maybe even in their paper books. So I wouldn't have any hesitation towards a digital product.
Right. And sometimes with digital, I don't offer that, but I do with the print books. And the reason for that is it's been, more than 30 days, or, there was just like a big lag or delay. And again, it
Oh, sure.
depends on the person and, and the tone of the email and a lot of other things. The other thing I will say as a pet peeve of those of us who are curriculum authors and providers is we get a lot of people that ask for free curriculum, and and because they're going to blog about it or something like that. So again, unless it's someone who has a track record or has had a blog up for several years, that would be one of my tips. If you are a blogger, you have more access to getting curriculum for free so that you can give it a review. However, that can also be abused, so you want there to be a balance. But we are going to take a really quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to nail down some really good ways to get discount offers as well as curriculum for a little bit of money with a lot of quality. We'll be right back.
Want to save money on homeschool curriculum? Well, now you can. I want to thank our ultimate homeschool radio network sponsor, the Build Your Bundle Homeschool Edition. This is a flash sale that lasts 1 week and allows homeschool families to save up to 96% on homeschool curriculum, classes, and membership sites. The sale only happens one time a year. This year, it's in May. As a subscriber of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, you will receive up-to-date information about the sale and ways to save big. Subscribe to our website at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com to receive updates. You'll be glad you did.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today we're talking about curriculum on the cheap, and I've got Gina Glenn on the line. This is podcast 199. We have some show notes for you at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And I also have some links into some of the other podcasts as well as blog posts and more information there for you on this post. So I'm going to get started, Gina, if that's okay with you, about one of my best ideas for getting curriculum that is a lot less. And one of them is by joining newsletters. If I went to a conference and I saw a vendor who had a newsletter list, I often signed up for them. And then, you can unsubscribe if you don't like what you're getting. But a lot of times in those newsletters, you will get a discount offer from that provider. A lot of times, bigger companies do not discount their books. So if you buy them on any of the, online stores like Amazon or Christian Book Distributors, or even Rainbow Resources has a big online presence now. You will see their book at all the same price. They just don't discount, but they will on occasion give their newsletter subscribers, their loyal customers who are continuing to get their emails every week, a discount code. And I know this because I do this myself. Although I do offer discounts to vendors who sell my books, I do offer a much bigger discount on my website than I do anywhere else. So if you join a newsletter, you can find those. And I've had people email me and thank me. And, it does help the bottom line. So that's a really good way. What would you like to add, Gina?
Well, I think newsletters are, subscribing to newsletters are a really great way to add to your curriculum repertoire. There are little things you can do as supplements, so that's a great idea.
Good. And then what about bookstores? You were telling me about some of the best places to buy some books.
Yeah, I love half-price books or like a library book sale when they go through and they cull all the books that for whatever reason the library doesn't want them anymore. And you can get books at a library book sale for a quarter on up, including, like science encyclopedias and things that may be less than 5 years old. And those are a great thing to have at home when your kids are growing. You can really build a really great homeschool library to pull from, in the winter months or when you don't want to get out, or like we live in a small town. So our library, my kids and I joke, we've read it, and we have to go into the bigger town nearby. And so we like to go to the library book sales or half price books or used book sales, estate sales to pick up books just to add and have on hand. And you can do that and save quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we sold a lot of books one time at a garage sale. I don't do them very often. And part of it is we're off the beaten path. So I know they've done like yard sales in our neighborhood just to get people in before with multiple properties. But, you know, I was having to sell these books and I bought them for, you know, $20, $30, you know, for $1.50. So not good on the side of the person selling it, which is why I tend to donate my books. But one of the things Christina was telling me is that they have a swap sale, and which reminds me, because she was here yesterday and was supposed to take some books, and I forgot to give it to her, so I'm writing myself a note. But what that is that you just are donating those books, and they have them on a big table, and people walk around and just take whatever they want. So everybody goes with books that they're donating. And, yeah, it's, they started it several years ago, and you know it's really great because you know some families don't have money, and now it's gotten even bigger and bigger. But there's always that you know book or two that you're thinking, oh, it's just too much to try to put it on Amazon or eBay or somewhere to sell. Which brings us to another place, and not necessarily that you can get a whole lot of discounts on Amazon. But eBay, I've noticed, that used to be the big place to buy things. I don't buy a lot there. My boys do actually with, my son buys, tools and some other stuff for his car. But, you know, they have a really good track record with it because it's the whole, you know, rating system on how, you know, responsive the buyer is. And actually I did buy something. I bought a baseball bat or a softball bat. My daughter, thank God, got 2 years in a row a free bat at the World Series where she played. And this year she didn't like the bat. It had some kind of twisty handle. So we sold it on eBay and then she bought a new one on eBay.
Oh,
and made $50
yeah.
on the deal. Yeah, it was mm-hmm. really great because they're ridiculously mm-hmm. expensive. Yeah, so that's one of the things. Another is, you know, looking at your philosophy will really help you because, you know, you may not like a particular product or, for example, you know, do your homework because a lot of times my friends would say they just love this book. And one time I gave my friend permission because I was speaking at the Florida Parent Educators Association that year, and I did not have time to go around all the tables and look at curriculum. So I said to my friend, you know, here's some money. Please, whatever book you get me one. And she said, are you sure? And I said, oh, yeah. So the big joke is, and I still have this book to this day, it was a big, thick book on homesteading, and I can't even grow a basil plant. My son just got rid of all my plants that, you know, they grow for a little bit, and then I forget to water them, and, you know, they're out in the hot Florida sun. He's like, no, you got to put it beside the yard, not over, you know, in the backyard, but I can see it in the backyard. Anyway, so here's this book on homesteading. Like, I'm going to do anything with this, and I just looked at it and laughed hysterically. And probably should have taken it back, but there were some, you know, really cool things in there, and the kids were looking at it, and I thought, well, we can learn about it.
We did
a whole thing on, you know, a unit on A Little House in the Prairie. So be careful, because what somebody may think is, you know, the perfect book or the perfect curriculum, and, you know, we're just tired. We don't know what to do. And, you know, you love your friend, and you kind of have the same philosophies about things, and you're thinking, wow, this will be great. All the other books you got me were awesome, but except that one. But, you know, it wasn't so much a box curriculum, which we have never, ever used. But I know a lot of people do, and that's fine. Another is living books, you know, just having a really good collection. You were talking about that, too. Share what you've done with those and collecting them.
Well, the particular philosophy I used had some reference material in the back of the guides for K-12. These were just guides. You kept them for all 12 years for resources. And so I used the back of those, and the Amble site online, and Old Fashioned Education, which is another one. I used those resources that compiled a library at home of living books from those places I talked about earlier. And that was a really good way of knowing, because you could read reviews, you could talk to other moms. A lot of them have, you know, back in the day they had the Yahoo groups. Now there's a Facebook group for everything, but you could really get a feel for the book. And a lot of them were in the public domain at like Google Books or Project Gutenberg if you're going to use an ebook version. And audiobooks of those same type of books, those living books, you can get those on like Loyal Books or LibriVox.org. Those are great resources for the audio version of those living books.
Very good. Yeah, and your library has them as well. I know that my daughter gets a lot of books on tape. I will caution you that sometimes even if you're using a good type of book like they were doing Anne Frank, there were some, she said, unacceptable things in that audio because they were listening to it as a family, and then the girls wanted to go hear it, and they were within earshot from wherever she was. And she said it was not appropriate what they were talking about, and they had to fast-forward it. And her friends had all highly recommended the audio for that.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need to be careful, you know,
maybe
and again.
Screen.
Yes, that's always important. Yeah, which is difficult sometimes. But and then building your own library, I'm going to put a couple of audio links, and we'll also put those links, Gina just mentioned, in the podcast notes, the show notes. And I have an audio that I had an interview with another lady who is very, very good at building a classical library. And she also helps people do that in their town so that it can either be, you know, an income source for the person doing it, or I don't remember exactly how she did it, but it was really a great interview. I think there were several parts on that. And looking at really good resources that are usable year after year. You know, like you were mentioning your study guides, the creation science study guides that I wrote with Jill Whitlock, those can be used K through 12. And, you know, they also have an activity pack that goes with them. And there's the creation novels, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that kind of goes along, not necessarily hand in hand, but reiterates some of the facts that they learned in the study. And a funny story, my daughter was taking a biology class in college, and Michael was here at the local college here. And so they were both talking about, you know, classes, and the first thing they did when they got their biology books, because Anne's in Maryland and Mike's here in Florida, was, you know, where's the evolution section? And Mike started off the year with evolution, and Anne's ended the year with evolution. But she sent me a paragraph that she wrote, and she was teasing me and saying, yeah, I was channeling the Truth Seekers Mystery Series and the dialogue the kids had in the book, and we were laughing. But it was like the question was, what is one thing that really points to evolution and one thing that really is a weak argument or something like that? And it had to do with the kinds, you know, that everyone comes from a common ancestor and they want to point to the Big Bang. And she goes, the last sentence, you know, or it could point to a creator God. So, but, you know, the kids are still using things that they read in the novel and in the study guides that we did. Obviously, my poor kids had to use our books. But, you know, these are all ways that really help save money. And the last one we have for you is a big sale that happens once a year. And I've been involved with Carrie Fernandez has spearheaded this, and it's the Build Your Bundle sale. And I know that just as a curriculum provider, it has been great for me to get out some of my books that, you know, people may not want to spend the full price for them, and I will include them in the bundle to be bundled with other things. And so share with us a little bit about the sale that comes along once a year.
Sure. Well, the Build Your Bundle team, the organizers there, you mentioned Carrie, it's comprised of frugal homeschooling moms, just like you and I, and they put themselves in our shoes and decided they wanted to get discounts and special savings for us. So they offer these bundles, and there are 20 individual bundles this year with over 240 products from 100 contributors, and you can save up to 96% off the regular retail price. So that is an awesome way to save a lot of money and really build a homeschool library. Would you like me to just go over what the bundles are, or at least the names?
Probably not, because we'll have those links in the show notes, because she does this every year, and it's funny because it's not even the same time of the year. She has moved it around at different times, I believe, because I think the one year it was a totally different time than it is mm-hmm. this year. But one of the best things to do is if you subscribe to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network e-zine, we put out a weekly email that tells you what is the topics of the week, and that way you can bookmark or subscribe to the podcast so that you can receive that information. And the second is we will have a lot of links the month of Build Your Bundle. I believe it's a very short frame of time, and that's what you can share with us. Again, that changes. Before, the presale was a week long, and now I believe the presale is just a few days. So do share with us that information.
Sure. There'll be 3 days of pre-sale that's starting on Friday the 19th and running through the weekend, when you can get a special coupon to use during the sale, which starts Monday the 22nd at 8 a.m.
Okay. And again, that changes from year to year. So, you know, last year it was a whole week of pre-sale. This year it's just a few days, and then the actual sale, and it's only 1 week. So that's why it's important to stay on these lists. I know sometimes it's really irritating to get an email. I mean, everybody likes a clean inbox, which will never be anything that I will see in my lifetime. But what you can do is you can put them, if you use Gmail, you can put them in different categories. And it's really nice because I can look at all the social media and I can, you know, just skim it. And I can do this daily, and it takes about 5 minutes, and I can control and copy or just select all and delete all and just go see, like, if someone tagged me on Facebook or there's something I want, I just read it really quickly and mm-hmm. I can go look at. So you can do the same thing with any of the sale offers and things like that. You can have that, you know, in one section. And then some of them that I consider very important, I pull over to my important file, and I have that as a resource, so I can just click one button and see all of the important things. So if you don't have your email organized, it's something that's really good to do and very helpful, especially for busy people that tend to have a ton of emails that come in. I have about 4 different email accounts that flow into my one. So mm-hmm. it can be unmanageable at times, and having that little bit of organization helps. And it does also help to stay on the email list. Yeah, you know, I know some people use a bogus name, you know, or a maiden name or something like that for a Gmail account, and then they never go look at it. So you're going to miss the sales. And I know people were emailing me recently about an old sale through Build Your Bundle that is no longer available. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's sad because they're missing out on, you know, hundreds of dollars of curriculum where my books were included. So all I could say to them was, well, if you subscribe to the email, then you'll get those discounts when we come up with them. So, but Gina, this was great. Do you have any last parting words for anyone on this topic?
The only thing I can say is just stay true to your homeschool philosophy. Make a promise to yourself not to buy when you don't have the money. Budget for your books so you know what you can spend. And once you've went through your, you know, your budgeted money, that's it. No money, no buy.
Yep. Which is very wise words, you know, and that also helps out because, you know, I have a ton of books that I bought my first couple of years that just sat there. And I will say one of the best things that we bought through the years are the games, the teaching games, because those were things the kids pulled out. Like every Friday we had game day. If we didn't have a field trip or something, we went on. When they were younger, we were part of a co-op, and we didn't do that in high school. It's so funny, a lot of people co-op in high school, and I didn't for a lot of different reasons. But, mm-hmm. You know, it didn't work out for us. So, you know, lots of food for thought and lots of great ideas so that you guys can, you know, keep those costs down. So, again, follow our email list. That will help. And then look at the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. This is podcast 199. And I'm excited to be doing a 200th podcast episode, which is going to be really fun. I'm going to be including some of the great organizational tips from many of our speakers on the network. Well, thanks so much, Gina, for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Felice.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.